Good afternoon, as it is just barely afternoon here in Oshkosh on a gorgeous day. It's 75 degrees with clear skies. The humidity is down in the low 60s. Winds are at 2. Paul, it's another beautiful day at AirVenture.
And I had an early start to the day, Mike. I came in at 7:30 to go to the NAFI breakfast where they presented the awards for Hall of Fame and also Lifetime Achievement Awards for NAFI. So it was a great time to see the achievements of some of those individuals and have a good breakfast too.
That's
so
neat.
Off to a good start.
Our first quarter hour is spent with firms that participate in the International Federal Partnership here at AirVenture Oshkosh. And hello on social media to the folks on the IFP Facebook Live page. By the way, in terms of social media presence, we're on there too as EAA Radio. You can tweet us with the handle at EAA Radio. You can also send a text or phone call to interact with our hosts and guests in studio here. You can text to 920-550-1210, 920-550-1210. So today we're going to talk about NORAD. We're visited by Lieutenant Colonel Matt Housand from Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, who's part of NORAD. Matt, thanks for coming. And you're spending your days, or at least part of them, over in the Federal Pavilion.
That's right. We have a booth out there, NORAD booth, that we have set up so you can come by and chat and ask some questions. And we're here really just to educate folks about TFRs, how to avoid them, how to know that where they are, and then what happens if you get intercepted, what we expect from you, what you can expect from us.
So Matt, what do we need to know? How are you educating the group here?
Well, first off, TFRs there. Well, we intercepted about 360 aircraft last year, and none of those aircraft were threats, but they're all just flying into TFR or airspace that they shouldn't have been in. Just through not understanding the procedures and how to get that information. So it's all honest mistakes for the most part, but we still have to go intercept these aircraft, spend the taxpayer money, and treat it like a threat until we know otherwise. So we're kind of here talking to people about what you can do to know where the TFR is. I'll throw this website out. TFR.faa.gov. It's a great site. Good job by the FAA. To find where the TFR is, see if there's any in the airspace or near the airspace you're going to be flying, and you can avoid them. And then if you can't avoid them, what you need to do to fly in and out of the TFR airspace.
So, Matt, I fly general aviation from time to time. How much time do I have before, you know, I do my own flight planning? Is there a chance that a TFR could pop up between the time I first looked at a flight and actually... executed it? So how does the timing of a TFR work?
Okay, so it depends on what kind of TFR it is. So presidential TFR, and those are primarily the ones we defend. That's 48 hours notice, so you should have plenty of time to know those TFRs. There are also TFRs for things like wildfires, which those obviously pop up last minute. We're not going to defend a wildfire TFR, but obviously it behooves you to know where the tankers are flying, and you want to stay away from that airspace so you don't interfere with those operations. But those aren't TFRs that you're going to get intercepted by an F-16 for. So the big ones, the UN Security Council, the Super Bowls, the presidential TFRs, the ones we'll defend, those you'll have at least 48 hours notice for that.
And the interception process, I heard you talk about taxpayer money and F-16s, and elaborate on that a bit.
Right. So each time we launch an F-16, it's about $50,000, and usually we'll launch two at a time. So like I said, 360 intercepts last year, do the math, it's a lot of money. And all of those were not real threats, but we didn't know what they were. So we have to treat it like a real threat until we can confirm that it's not. So again, that's why we're out here. We're expanding our education campaign to, so we don't have to spend that taxpayer money on that. We can use it on other things.
So how do you establish communication with somebody in an intercept?
Yeah, first thing will be 121.5. So that's kind of our mantra is the plan, talk, squawk. And if you do those three things, you're going to save yourself on multiple layers. At a minimum, if you're one of the guys that just likes to take off, fly VFR, not talk to anyone, not squawk, if you just listen to 121.5, you're going to save yourself from being intercepted, because that will be one of the lines of defense to try to contact you. So that's, again, if you file a flight plan, If you don't do that, get flat following, and if you know, at a minimum, just monitor 120.5, and that's going to save the intercept.
Because if you go ahead and do flight following, which is a fairly common practice, then air traffic control can help you with this. So you've got really some teammates, you know, who can help you prevent a TFR
even
entry.
If you miss it in the briefing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely, you bet. And that's again one of those phases. There's, if we launch an intercept, it's because there's a lot of steps that have been missed, or the cautionary steps have not been taken. So yeah, that's kind of a last result to launch the fighters.
So I want to use the text capability I was just asking or mentioning a few minutes ago. If you fly, text to 920-550-1210 and let us know whether you monitor 121.5 normally, because my guess is that not many do, and so that first step, I'm going to guess, more often than not, is not successful. What's the next step in attempting to communicate on an intercept?
Okay, at that point, we're going to have to do the comm out visual signal. So you're going to look out, you're going to see an F-16 or a fighter of some sort, F-22, F-15, or in Canada, it'll be the CF-18. But they'll be rocking their wings trying to get a hold of you. You're going to acknowledge that with your own wing rock.
Which is going to be really hard not to notice, right?
Right. Well, you'd be surprised. But if they don't get your attention right away, they'll kick out some flares and do some other things. But so once you see the fighter, then roll over to 121.5. Again, if you can't do that, then you're going to follow the fighter. Again, the fighter will do a wing rock and turn into a heading. You just follow and turn in the same heading the fighter does, and that'll lead you out of the proper airspace.
Does every intercept end in a landing, or can they just intercept you out and send you on your way?
No, before, the fighters would generally tell you where to land. That's indicated by them dropping their landing gear. Okay, we want you to land here. Now, we're less apt to tell you where you need to land due to safety reasons. We don't know if you're qualified or have the information for that airport. So once you're at, if the fighter leaves, go ahead and land at the closest appropriate airport and contact ATC. They'll give you a phone number to call. If nothing else, when you land, you should be met by some authorities. The fighters will still be overhead monitoring you, but don't just go home at that point. Wait for the authorities to show up, or at least get the phone number.
So Matt, what kind of training do you do? Is it do you do some simulation exercises to simulate threats or intercepts, or how do you stay proficient doing this?
Sure. So we do one big exercise a year. There's one for NORAD, one for NORTHCOM, but it'll simulate a lot of different threats, external and internal. You know, NORAD, it started out about 59 years ago, joint command with Canada, and is mainly focused on an external threat. You're talking about the Russian bear bombers coming across and launch intercepts out of Alaska, California, that kind of thing. But more recently, since 9/11, it's we still have that focus, but also it's an internal focus as well. So there's different exercises simulating those external or internal threats. So
we're talking with Matt Hausen, a lieutenant colonel with NORAD, about TFRs, how to stay out of trouble, what to do if you find yourself there.
What do you want the general aviation pilot to know most to stay informed?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it comes back to the plan, squawk, talk. So check the TFRs. So it's just like you're checking the weather at your destination. Just go. There's an easy-to-use website. Again, it's at tfr.faa.gov. And go to that. You're going to find out if any TFRs are going to be appropriate for where you're flying. And then when you're out in the airspace, monitor the 121.5, get the flight following if you're going to be anywhere near a TFR. And those different layers will protect you. Like I always say, at the very minimum, if you're monitoring 121.5, then you'll be alerted if you're getting close to a TFR and we don't have to launch the fighters.
And of course, a lot of the flight planning products that are available on the market, I mean, many of the companies are represented here. The TFRs actually show up on your map, and that's an excellent aid.
That's a great tool, and what I would say, that's a fantastic tool, but it shouldn't be your only tool, because that's if something malfunctions with that, then that's not necessarily a good excuse to tell the FAA why you trundled into the TFR. So I'd say multiple layers of protection, but those digital ones are fantastic from what I've heard.
So people who are intercepted, on generalization here, but do you find that generally they did not seek that information, or they sought it and they didn't find it and then got in trouble?
I think for the most part, people didn't seek the information. You know, there's a story of a few pilots that wanted to just go take off, fly somewhere, have a hamburger, and come home. They're actually commercial airline pilots that just wanted to fly a little bit on the side, and as the guy's taxiing out, he gets a text from his wife saying, I can't believe the president's going to be speaking at our daughter's elementary school today. Isn't that fantastic? And it just hit him. Oh, my gosh. The president's in town. There's a TFR overhead, and I don't even know about it. Stop taxi. So I think there's – I mean, it really could happen to anyone. You don't check what you need to check. It's a clear, beautiful day. You don't really
– What could go wrong, right?
What could go wrong, right? And then – so I think it's kind of honest mistakes for the most part. But, again, at NORAD, we need to treat that as a real threat until we can prove otherwise.
So that's Matt Housand, Lieutenant Colonel with NORAD, based in Colorado, and talking about how we can all stay out of trouble not flying into TFRs.
Matt, we appreciate everything you do for us. You've got it sounds like you have a lot of work, and I hope we can get the numbers down.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So we were kind of keeping our ear to the texting gateway. I haven't heard from anybody yet about whether you do or don't listen to 121.5. We can't identify you here, so, you know, honesty's okay. If the answer is no, that's okay. We did get one question, by the way. Is Fat Albert from the Blue Angels here, and will the Blue Angels still perform? The short answer is he's not here. He's grounded. The Blue Angels are still scheduled to perform. So there's up to the date there. We'll be right back. You're listening to EAA Radio.